Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amshuman, Text Number 16. Shuddho Bhagiti Rajjane Tasyanavo Paro Bhavat Sindhu Dvipastatastasmad Ayutas yutato bhava. Shudaha. A son named Shuddha. Bhagatirat. From Bhagatirat. Jagne was born. Tasya of Shuddha. Nabha, by the name Nabha. Aparaha, different from the Nabha previously described. Abhaivat, was born. Sindhudvipa, by the name Sindhudvipa. Tata, from Nabha. Tasmat, from Sindhudvipa, Ayutayu, a son named Ayutayu, Tata, thereafter, Abhavat, was born. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bhagirath had a son named Shuddha, whose son was Nabha. This son was different from Nabha previously described. Nabha had a son named Sindhudvipa. From Sindhudvipa came Ayutayu. And from Ayutayu came Rituparna, who became a friend of Nalaraja. Rituparna taught Nalaraja the art of gambling, and Nalaraja gave Rituparna lessons controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Rituparna was Sarvakama. Her book. Gambling is also an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talent in this art of gambling. By the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, and home, because they were not expert in the gambling art. In other words, the devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialist activities are not at all suitable for living entities, especially the devotees. Devotees should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. Devotee remains pure because he does not take part in sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is full of fascinating and interesting stories which go beyond our present experience. But what we can take from this partially is that there's a whole list of names, most of which we'll never remember, even if we read it for years and years, because we never met a person called Nalaraj or Sindhudvipa. Hi, my name's Sindhudvipa. The interesting thing is that at least there were kings back then. There were Kshatriyas. Nowadays, we don't have any Kshatriyas. So I don't think the President of the United States or the President of India even will make it into the Srimad Bhagavatam, because they're actually not Kshatriyas. They're Shudras dressed as kings, as in the beginning of the first canto, or in the end of the first canto, Pariksha Maharaj met a Shudra dressed as a king. But these were actually Kshatriyas, although their activities, as any activities in the material world, are questionable for us. Oh, he was gambling. But then again, he was a Kshatriya, and therefore he could fight against other warriors, protect the citizens, etc., etc. But to do that required some passion. Nowadays, people have hardly any passion. They have a whole lot of ignorance. And therefore, the best they can do is fight, is usually hide behind some bunker or something like that and try and shoot from 2 miles away or 10 kilometers away, try to destroy their enemy by a robot or something. And then they get credit for being a great, brave warrior. But because hardly there's any, as it says, tadastanudinam dharma, tatastanudinam dharma, sattvam shema, sattvam socham daya shama. Balena kalira rajan nakshatranor nakshat yayor valam smriti. That day after day, dharma is going down. Dharma, as we know, is the bull with four legs, standing on truthfulness, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness. Which we, in the material world nowadays, modern society, they think these are very quaint conceptions. They think clean is if you wash your hands sometime during the week. As long as they don't appear to be too dirty, then they must be clean. And truthfulness means you just tell enough lies to get away with whatever you're trying to get away with. And if you happen to throw in the truth once in a while, well, everyone makes mistakes once in a while. And as far as mercy, people have no conception of mercy. Mercy means I kill the cow and the bull and I pet my dog out of mercy. And I throw some pebbles into the fish tank to feed the fish because I'm so merciful. As far as austerity, if I don't eat my fellow neighbor or whatever other living entities are around, then it's a very austere day. Of course, cleanliness is sometimes equated with illicit sex. They're interchanged between austerity and cleanliness. One is illicit sex, the other is meat eating. In any case, dharma has gone down because people don't know Nite Vidu Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu, that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. Because the people who are supposed to instruct us, lead the society, give us vision, they've been compromised. They're simply repeat what the Vaishyas, so-called Vaishyas, what the cheaters actually, they're not even Vaishyas, they're Naradamas. What the Naradamas are telling them to say, and therefore, because the Naradamas, principally business means cheating, the first business of everyone who comes in contact with the modern Naradamas, the business people, will have to cheat. Their medicine is cheating, their politics is cheating, everything about them is cheating. Even their food that we eat is cheating. It's all based upon money. Money, money sweeter than honey. And therefore, because there is no real money, there's no real resources, it's all been compromised. People have this idea that they're making a profit. If they can get something to eat, if they have a place to sleep, if they can maintain a wife and a child, then they're considered to be balavan, strong and influential. And people's expectations of life is very small. But when they're actually Kshatriya kings, then society actually flourished because the Kshatriya kings, even they had bad habits, at least they would protect the Brahmins. They understood the value of Brahminical culture and they understood that their success, their actual success as Kshatriya kings, depended upon hearing from the Brahmins. They were not independent. They didn't have independent vision. And the Brahmins didn't have independent vision from Shastra. As much as they understood Shastra, to that extent they were effective as Brahmanas. And to that extent, the Kshatriya kings were actually able to perform sacrifice and live a life of progress. If they had faults, we can imagine that even the Vaishyas in previous ages had some faults. And what to speak of the Shudras. But they were all being guided from the top by Brahmins who were able to assess the time, place, and circumstances and gradually elevate the population. But nowadays, who's doing that? Where are the Brahmins? Can you find them at the universities? Are they directing people towards self-realization? Getting free from anxiety and misery? No, not at all. They themselves are simply interested in maintaining their position and prestige, but they're not interested in actually finding out what the truth is, because if they found out the truth, then their prestige would go away, which they're carefully guarding as the most valuable thing they have. Therefore, Andaya tandira pigimanas te pesha tantra urudami vada. Generally speaking, people want to be misled because they think people who have more prestige, more material assets than they have, are on a higher level of enjoyment. And therefore they think, because that's what it's advertised, that's what the training is. The bigger the animal you become, the more successful you are. Why remain an insignificant animal? You can become a big animal and enjoy all the little animals. Therefore, when we hear that there's some gambling amongst the Kshatriyas, well, nowadays there's gambling among the Shudras. The Kshatriyas at least had something to gamble, even if they lost some of whatever they were gambling to some other Kshatriya. It would still be utilized for some noble cause, the resources. Because Kshatriyas gambled against other Kshatriyas. They didn't gamble against Shudras or Vaishyas or even Brahmins. And therefore, whatever the result was not so inauspicious. Because the money gambled or the resources gambled would still be utilized in the kingdom for the benefit of the citizens. But nowadays, there's a bunch of Shudras and some Naradamas gambling. And therefore, it's simply being lost for bigger Shudras and bigger Vaishyas, or just getting the money for bigger sinful activities. And we can see that although the Pandavas lost everything in the gambling match, Asaba, Vishan Mahagne Purushara Darshanat, Asabaya, Vana Vana Grichata, Ride Neka Maharatastraso, Dronyastramasma Bhavatabhi Rakshitaha. That the Pandavas, they lived a life of problems. Now they're eternal associates of Krishna. They're Nitya Siddhas. They've been traveling with Krishna since time immemorial to his different places to spread Krishna consciousness in their own way. And this time they took birth as the Pandavas. And their life was full of problems. Now how can a Nitya Siddha have done something wrong in their past lifetime to have a life of problems? Vishan Mahagne, Bhima was fed poison. Vishan Mahagne, they were put in a house set on fire. Purushara, and when they escaped the house, there was a Rakshasa demon, Hidimba, waiting to eat them. Imagine if you were in a burning house and you ran out, and the first person to greet you is a man-eating demon. I mean, you would have, considering a bad day or a bad night, I mean, even in your dreams you wouldn't believe that, you know. Things. Then they had to hide for 14 years. Well, at least they had to be incognito, because people were actually out to kill them. They weren't just paranoid, but people were actually trying to kill them. Although there are the princes, the rightful heirs of the entire world at that time, still everyone was out to kill them. Now we ourselves are all insignificant, but at least no one's out to kill us because it's not worth the bullet. They don't want to waste a bullet on us. And what would they gain anyhow? So at least we're free from some anxieties because we're not so prominent. But as soon as one becomes prominent in the material world, then people who are envious and ambitious, they immediately want to get rid of you so they can take your position. That's the nature of material existence. So although everyone is fighting to become prominent and big in this material world, those who are not so much ambitious, they're actually much more peaceful and calm because they're not running after illusion. Now the devotees, they can actually be ambitious because they're ambitious to spread Krishna consciousness, to serve Krishna. So then Krishna will also make up for that by protecting one, actual protection, by putting one in factually conscious of Krishna. So to be ambitious as a devotee to spread Krishna's glories will bring about Krishna's protection along with it. But we can see in the case of the Pandavas, they were most ambitious to serve Krishna and they had the greatest difficulty. And yet Krishna protected them. Otherwise, how did Bhima survive the poison that was fed to him? How did they escape the burning house of lack? How did they escape the man-eater in the forest, the asat would be the ungentlemanly-like assembly. Vana-kritsha, and then being exiled into the forest, vana-kritsha-taha. Life of problems, but every problem, as Mother Kunti said, Queen Kunti, vipadakshanti takshasva tatratra jagat guru bhavatad darshanam niyasyat apuna bhavadarshana. I want to see these calamities again and again and again so that we can see you again and again. And therefore there will be no more seeing repeated birth and death. So when we're put into a difficulty, the first thing we want to do is get out of it by any means possible. And the result is we're usually fleeing from one difficulty to the next. Or as Prahlad Maharaj said, the very means I got out of my difficulties in the material world caused five more times difficulty. Instead of actually solving my problems, I was just increasing them. Only if one actually takes shelter of Krishna can one get free from the real problem, which is our material identification with his body and mind. That's our real problem. And as long as we're identified with this body or this mind and our next body and mind, we're simply going to face one problem after another. There's no end to it because it's all illusory. And the illusion has been set up to give us the idea that we have problems based upon our material situation. But our real problem is we've forgotten Krishna. And if we become conscious of Krishna, then we'll realize we have no problems. Although in the material world, we'll continue to put illusory conceptions into the soul's consciousness that it has problems to solve. And when we stop trying to solve our problems or other people's problems, usually if we don't have sufficient problems during the day, then we look around and we start criticizing everyone, thinking if they could only surrender to me, I could solve all their problems. But because they're doing this and they're doing that, therefore they're having problems because they're not following my expert example. So when we stop looking around and thinking everyone has problems, I have problems, how to solve the problems, I got the solutions, find out someone has the solution. The only solution is Matirana Krishna, is to stop trying to solve our material problems, unnecessarily trying to solve them when they're not even our problems. Generally, most of the time, we're looking around trying to think about how to solve everyone else's problems. especially you join the Hare Krishna movement, then we start thinking how to solve everyone else's problems so there's no more problems in the movement. But the only real problem we have in the movement is we're not Krishna conscious. That's the only problem we really have in the movement. Everyone else is assisting us to become Krishna conscious. If you live in the ashram, then everyone will neglect you, criticize you, discipline you, and we think, well, these people have a problem. But actually, they're trying to solve our problem. The fact that we're not Krishna conscious. So Queen Kunti's praying for problems. She wants to see more and more problems. But as I said many times, we don't have to pray. We're so fortunate. You just have to be existing in Kali Yuga. And problems will come one after another to try to encourage us to take shelter of Krishna. And she's praying for more of them. We just have to tolerate and fix our mind upon Krishna and rely upon him. Not that, my dear Krishna, this person insulted me, please destroy them. That kind of reliance on Krishna is not very welcomed. That will also be offensive. But my dear Krishna, let me just think of you and tolerate these inconveniences, because after all, you're in charge of everyone and everything. You know what's best for everyone and everything. So why should I tell you what to do? Why should I be so arrogant as to pray to you? Because our desires are actually prayers. When we start thinking ill of others and pray for their demise, their disappearance, or their pain, or whatever we may pray for, think about desire, then Krishna may take us seriously. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was insulted by his stepmother, Suruchi. He couldn't sit on the lap of his father, and he became greatly angry. So his mother told him that if you want to solve your problem, go into the forest and look for Krishna. That's where all the sages go to look for Krishna. Only Krishna can give you a kingdom greater than that of your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. But don't think ill of Suruchi, because otherwise you'll suffer. It's not that if we think ill of someone, that they suffer. Actually, a lot of times if we think ill of someone and they see our suffering, they become enlivened. So why should we make our people we don't like enlivened by seeing ourselves suffering? It's not good for them and it's not good for us. Instead, one should become neutral and realize whatever happens to us is by Krishna's arrangement, and I should simply meditate on what Krishna wants me to do as a reaction, not how Krishna, I have to pray to Krishna or desire Krishna to change everyone else. But just find our own place, our own service, and see how what I can do in the midst of these difficulties. Then we'll become fixed in Krishna consciousness and devotional service will help our Krishna consciousness. And then the real difficulty that all we face, whatever the circumstances are, is we've forgotten Krishna. If a person is remembering Krishna and he's devoured by a tiger, then he's very auspicious. And if he dies peacefully in his bed, surrounded by relatives mourning, and he thinks of his relatives at the time of death and goes to hell, then what kind of auspicious ending is that? So, what is our auspiciousness now or in any moment when we leave this room? The auspiciousness, if we think about Krishna, and if we don't, if we're not doing something to please Krishna, and therefore becoming eligible to think about him in devotion, then whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking, is not very auspicious. It's not. Unless, if we're cultivating Krishna consciousness under any circumstance, it is all very good. Therefore, Prabhupada said one should arrange one's life that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So that's auspicious. That's management. That's intelligence. And if we just say, well, it's up to Krishna what happens today. C'est la vie. That's life. Well, we may think like that, and then Moses Major will drag us away in different spheres of life. And if we wound up in goodness during the day, we think, I'm a pure devotee. Instead, we should try to organize our life in such a way is that we can do things for Krishna and therefore become eligible to do them in Krishna consciousness, and therefore whatever good or bad comes, the good will actually help us more, the bad will help us more than the good in fixing our minds upon Krishna generally, and the good will also help if we utilize it to enthusiastically serve Krishna. If you're ecstatic on book distribution, for instance, or in Harinam, then we can spread Krishna consciousness more better. And if we're remote on Sankirtan or Harinam, whatever we're doing, then it should be an impetus to become enlivened, positive, focus our mind more on Krishna. Either way, it's auspicious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I was wondering, is it wrong or is it desirable to want to become a saint or to become a pure devotee?
What would be wrong with that?
I don't know, maybe not to become proud. Well,
you already are. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sada Kavanoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karya Vidoi. We're already Nitya Siddhas. We're eternally transcendental to the most material nature. We're eternally perfect. We're just an illusion, that's all. So the desire to be come back to our original position, that would be normal. Everything else is a waste of time. What would be the loss if any one of us became a pure devotee? What would be the loss?
I don't know. I just know that this was my desire when I was a kid, and they all told me that, I don't know, those places are already taken or something like this. Or
okay, well, maybe you can sneak into a new place. Anyhow, the spiritual world is supposed to be unlimited, and we're only supposed to be 1/10,000th the size of Tip Air in size. So I'm sure we can fit in somewhere in there.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the lecture. Like, in my experience, like when I have like good experiences, I can remember Krishna more. I think like it's more beneficial for me. But you said that it should be the other way around. So
not necessarily. In the beginning, we expect to have some good experiences. And a lot of times when we have something which is not so pleasant, we forget Krishna because we're accustomed to seeking shelter elsewhere. But by some experience, we might take shelter of Krishna, even in the difficulty. But that may take a little more experience. But neither one of them is. Thinking about Krishna in any circumstances is auspicious. We don't have to, in Kali Yuga, as I said, pray for inauspiciousness. We just have to pray that we become Krishna conscious in any circumstance.
Thank you.
Anything else? Hwala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Kidaj.